Welcome, everyone. Welcome to our third player interview for After the Final Whistle podcast. And today's special guest is one of very high caliber. And Han, welcome to you as well. And introduce our special guest.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for introducing us and our next guest. I'm very excited to introduce Melissa Maisels on our show. She is one of the most experienced and technical goalkeepers in the competition. She won't need to look far, though, to find highlights of her incredible saves. She gives each situation 110%, and her decision-making and pinpoint saves makes her stand out from the rest. Now, Melissa began her playing soccer at the young age of 9, and like many young stars, Melissa learned her skills on the futsal court. She has represented Victoria on 4 occasions for futsal in national competitions at the Australian Institute of Sport. And as young as she was at the time, it wasn't until she was 18 that she pulled on her first pair of gloves. And boy, did she not look back. Now, Melissa's drive and work ethic was rewarded when she signed her first football contract with Melbourne Victory in 2012. Since then, Melissa has moved to other clubs to gain experience and joined Canberra United in 2014. That same year, they won the W League Championship. And when there are highs, there's also lows. And when Melissa transferred to Perth Glory in 2016, she unfortunately suffered a serious season-ending hand injury. Though quickly bounced back and was fully recovered the following year and played every single minute. After a season with her old club, Canberra United, in 2018, Melissa had decided to return home to Melbourne to play for her current club, Melbourne Victory, which are the current champions. She has played a vital part for MPLW teams such as FC Berlin Lions, Heidelberg United, Bayside, Southern United and Alamein. Melissa's contribution to the game is second to none and strive to help others to become the best they can be. In doing so, this year she was appointed Technical Director for Mount Martha and Brighton Football Club. This is a great achievement and we can't wait for what's to come. Before I begin to introduce our next guest, I would like to say how important goalkeepers are. They are the last line of defence and the beginning of attacks. Goalkeepers are integral pieces of all successful teams, if not overlooked. To gain insight into a quite misunderstood position and the training methods, I would like to give a warm welcome to Heidelberg United's shortstopper, Melissa Maisels.
How you going, guys?
Thanks for coming.
Good. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for having me on.
Great to see you driving along.
Yeah, I thought I'd make the most of my morning treks up into Melbourne. Obviously, living by the beach, I'm very fortunate. But, you know, I do have those long drives to look forward to. So I thought I'd make the most of my time. And, I'm currently racing home to...
She's racing.
Co-parent, oh. My new puppy.
Oh, nice. Sorry, we lost connection there.
Oh, there we go.
So hopefully we haven't missed anything from that introduction. It's quite an extensive CV, and we really can't thank you enough for taking time out of your day today to come on our podcast. We really appreciate it. So let's kick things off. Let's sum up your performance this season for the few games that we did have. How do you think you went?
Yeah, it's really obviously unfortunate that once again we had to cut the season short. I know we went through it last year, not even having a season. So at least we were able to get out on the pitch. For me, it was crucial. In my W League endeavours, found myself on the bench for a couple of seasons now, and I really did need to get out and play. And not playing last season, all of last season, really... affected my confidence. So getting back on the pitch was actually, I was quite anxious. My first game back for Heidelberg United this year was probably the most nervous I've been, I can ever remember being in a football match, W League included, just because it had been so long since playing a competition game. And I thought this season for me, it was, as I said, it was crucial, but I found myself playing probably the best I've played in quite a while. I feel like I've matured a lot, and I'm 28 now. I've stopped kind of worrying what people think, worrying how I'm perceived, focusing solely on being in the moment, playing my game and enjoying it. And I think that showed this year, and I really did thrive in an unbelievably amazing environment under Jono at Heidelberg. So that was obviously a big part of my performances, but I was really happy with the football that I was playing before the season ended this year.
I'm going back to striving. What would you say would be the best save you had this season?
I could probably answer that twofold. I think the best, technically the best save I made was against Pauline. It was a Paige Zois free kick. She ripped it to my top left, her top right, and I got fingertips to it. And so that was probably technically the best save I made. But in terms of the moment of the game, it was against Calder. I made a one-on-one save, actually made a couple of one-on-one saves against Calder, and we went on to beat them 1-0. For me, that's almost better. It kind of sits in my mind a bit more vividly because of how important the save was. It may not have been technically as good, but it was such an important save. It helped us go on and beat Calder for the first time since, I think it was 2016. So, yeah.
Funny enough that Han and I did that game, and we did mention it was really down to your keeping skills that really won the 3 points, because Calder absolutely peppered your goals throughout the whole day, and then you were just unbelievable. So it's good to see that, you know, that was one of your best moments. You mentioned, you know, you've those two saves. How do you feel after a good save? Does that hype you up even more? Does it calm down your nerves? How do you feel?
I would say it calms me. It makes me feel like, I just feel like I've done my job. That's what I'm there to do. It doesn't feel it doesn't feel extra special. It doesn't, like you said, it doesn't hype me up per se. It more so brings me down, levels me out, builds my confidence, composes me, reminds me I know what I can do. And yeah, just cements that I've done my job. I can hold my head high for that moment. In that moment, I've done what I'm out there to do, because I'm out there to protect the goals as best I can. Some people have kind of assimilated like a big save to like scoring a goal, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it's not really like that. It's just like hitting an accurate pass. It's like clipping a ball to a fullback and hitting the target. That's what I'm there to do. It's my bread and butter. It's my job. And it just kind of builds my confidence as the match goes on.
And continuing on to that, what do you love most about being a goalkeeper?
Ooh, that's a good one. I do enjoy the responsibility. I enjoy the pressure, and you know, being able to come up big in good moments. You do feel, quite a sense of empowerment. I like to be able to communicate and organize what's in front of me. And I like working hard. I like working hard at training. We work so hard at training. It may not look like we work as hard on game day. That's more like our rest day. But training, we get to smash it and really work hard, and I really enjoy that part of it as well.
And how did you become a goalkeeper? It's not obviously everyone's first choice. Everyone obviously likes to be the striker, the midfielder, or a defender, but a goalkeeper, how did that come about?
basically, long story short, I wanted to play pro. I wanted to make it all the way. I had and still do have ambitions to play for my country. And that was just never going to happen on the field for me. I wasn't up to scratch. I knew it. I'm a realist. Yeah. I could see it. And so it was actually funny. Melissa Barbieri came to my junior club, Doncaster Rovers, and she did a speech. I was about 16, and she just delivered this kind of presentation and was really inspiring. And we were all like, you know, in awe of a Matilda. And I said at that moment, when I'm 20 years old, I'm going to be a goalkeeper. I'm going to become a goalkeeper. And then the game kind of started from then. The game kind of started to catch up with me a little bit. I started to not get as many minutes on the pitch for my team. I started to come off the bench. Then I started to play resis. At this stage, I was playing seniors. And then I was, you know, playing resis. And it was like, okay, the game's catching up to me now. I'm slowing down. I'm not quite up to it anymore. Is it time? And so what happened was I got dropped into resis. The resis didn't have a keeper. And they hadn't won a game all year. This is at Doncaster Rovers. And I said, I'll do it. I was frustrated. I wanted to be in the seniors, but I wasn't. So I thought, stuff it. I'll put the gloves on. Anyway, I played in goals. We versus Altona and we won 1-0. And the Rezzies won their first game of the season. I kept a clean sheet. I kept doing goalkeeper training for the rest of that year, played in goals for the Rezzies, and the rest is history. The following year, I moved to Bulleen under my first proper keeper coach, Steve Tulevski, and helped Bulleen. At the time, we were a state one side, and I helped us get, or state two or state one, I forget, helped us get promoted up into the Premier League. So that was pretty special.
Wow, that's awesome. Just kind of going a bit off topic, with your kind of responsibilities on and off the pitch, how do you manage that, you know, also playing for W League and for NPLW and also being a coach? How do you manage your responsibilities around all that?
It's really hard because most of my coaching occurs in the afternoons. So, coaching at community level and coaching, you know, school-age players, all my coaching has to happen outside of school hours. So basically from the moment I wake up, if we're not in W League season, I'm pretty much free until about 3:30, and then my workday starts. And it's 2 or 3 hours of coaching followed by a drive straight to Heidelberg, train till about 9:30, and I don't get home till about 10:30. So it is really hard. It's also very hard because of how far away I live down in the Mornington Peninsula, but it's a sacrifice that I make. I get to spend the whole day, you know, at home and with my partner and stuff like that, and then my workday begins. So it's a tough juggle. It's a lot easier in W League season when we train in the mornings because I get to spread things out a little bit more and I don't have such late nights. But, yeah, it's definitely difficult, and I really hope that, you know, this new CBA in the W League really paves the way for us to eventually have sometime in the as near a future as possible, a full-time contract where 52 weeks of the year we're contract, or 48 weeks of the year we're contracted to our club, and we're paid by our club to train for our club and play football and not have to have side hustles or side gigs. And then for me, coaching would just be a passion outside of football, and it would be just a couple of supplementary sessions of coaching per week that I would do because I love it, not so much because I need, you know, another income stream. So, yeah.
And is there any goalkeepers that you look up to or you admire?
Yeah, well, it's funny because now Melissa Barbieri is a peer of mine, but she obviously was my first kind of goalkeeper hero, I would say. But, look, I follow Tottenham, so I love Hugo Lloris. I love watching him play. I love watching the NWSL, and now also is it the WSL, the English League?
Yeah.
I love watching those keepers in action. Obviously watching all the keepers at the Olympics was phenomenal. So yeah, not one specifically. I think that's important too, though, because I can draw little things from a lot of other goalkeepers' games, and I can say, oh, I love the way that, you know, this keeper does that, this keeper does that. So yeah.
And now that you're actually, you know, someone that, or younger players look up to you as a goalkeeper, what advice would you give someone that's looking into goalkeeping, or, you know, just started out? What would you tell them, and what advice would you give them?
I would just say enjoy it and work hard. Obviously, you know, I am a goalkeeper coach as well. I've got some, you know, technical advice I could give as well. But at the end of the day, each keeper is going to work with their own keeper coach and their own team coach, who are going to want them to play a different system, a different way, and build their technique in their own particular method. So I would just say really enjoy it. But fundamentally, as a goalkeeper, start the habit of working really, really hard at training. If you don't feel like you're leaving a training having really pushed yourself, then have a rethink and really get, because the conditioning part of goalkeeping is so important. The harder you work on training day, the easier it is for you to go and make those big saves on game day. You don't want to be exhausted on game day. You want to be fresh in each individual moment to be able to make the big save or execute the, you know, the accurate pass. So I would say work hard. If I was to say something technical, it would simply be get your footwork right and get your handling right. Beyond that, you'll work with a coach and they'll sort out your dive technique and everything. But obviously, handling's very important, catching and footwork's very important. The way you move around the goal is almost just as important, if not could be more important than the handling aspect, because if you're not where you need to be, there's no way you're going to make the save in the first place. So footwork's important, moving around your goal, get where you need to be, handling, secure saves, work hard and enjoy it. Have fun.
You mentioned about game day. Are there any superstitions you have? Do you put your left glove on, a right glove, or boots on? Is there anything that you do each game day?
It's funny. I've completely grown out all my superstitions. So when I was younger, like I'm talking between pretty much about, since I can remember, probably 12 to about 16, 17, 18. The night before game day, it would be trackies laid out. Kit laid out on top of the trackies, undergarments laid out on top of the kit, like everything in order, like a human was lying on my dresser ready to be put on to me. It was like everything was immaculate, bedtime immaculate, pasta compulsory before game day, all of that. Same breakfast every game day. It was ridiculous. And I've completely outgrown it all because obviously I've grown up and I've, you know, grown to understand that you can't control everything. Yeah. You can't, something's going to happen. My car's going to break down on the way to the game. I'm going to have to drive to the team manager's house and pick up the keeper strip on the way to the W League game. You know, it could happen. All these things could happen. So, it, you know, I lost all my superstitions and I've been able to just, you know, say that if I were to rock up to the game and have nothing but my boots, my gloves and my shinies, I can play. And I think that's really important. Each to their own. It works for some people, it doesn't work for others. I prefer to have nothing so that worst case scenario, I know I can still trust my ability.
Now, continuing on with your kit, what is your preferred gloves that you use? I know back in the day, with a lot of us, we didn't have gloves that fit small hands, for example, myself, and we probably either switch between like the junior gloves or the men's. What would be your preferred glove, and what was the struggle that you had, you know, keeping on when you were younger to now, and what's kind of like you see the changes that have been made for female goalkeepers?
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that. I'm actually sponsored by Keep Her, which is a glove brand specifically built and made and designed for women and girls. So my gloves are designed for the female hand. They're made in the US. We've got a distributor here in Canberra, and they look after me all the time. And they're incredible. I find them really comfortable. I personally prefer like a negative cut versus the other, you know, a hybrid or a roll finger or a flat palm. So a negative cut I find fits my hands nice and snug. But I've got quite big hands. I always have had quite big hands. So the men's gloves also do fit me. What I found was it's just so expensive. Gloves are so expensive and you just churn through them. Like if you're working hard, you're going through a pair of gloves every 3 weeks minimum. So that's always been a big challenge, like financially being able to support myself through my kind of more junior years until I got sponsored, and I couldn't be more grateful to my sponsor for looking after me. But it puts in perspective, you know, how much these parents pay and how much these other athletes do pay for their gloves and glove maintenance. It's crazy. But such is the sport, and you got to do what you got to do. But yeah, I think that, you know, more and more glove companies are going to start bringing out a female model. I think we're going to see it. They're already doing it in apparel and undergarments. So there's absolutely no reason that, you know, you won't see the big names start to bring out female goalkeeper gloves specifically for the female hand.
Hopefully we see that very soon. Touching on your teammates and your coach, how would they describe you?
At Heidelberg?
Yeah.
All of them. To be fair, I'm the same everywhere I go. What you see is what you get. Lively, passionate, emotional. I care a lot, probably too much. I take things to heart, so I definitely wear my heart on my sleeve. I don't really hide much. You'll know if I'm in a good mood, you'll know if I'm in a bad mood, you know if I'm upset, and you'll probably know why, because I'll tell you and I'll ask for your help or something. So I think I'm a bit of fun as well in the change rooms as well. I think I'm good to have around, and just keep it light. It's supposed to be fun. We're supposed to enjoy what we do, and yes, we are playing professionally, and yes, you know, we do need to perform, and that's why we work so hard 5-7 days a week to make sure that on game day we get to just have fun and express ourselves. And you know, you'll always catch me dancing in the change rooms and singing and getting a bit crazy and stuff like that. So yeah, I think I'm a bit of fun to be around, but I'll also bring that, you know, that drive and that, you know, that passion and motivation. I feel like that was a big part of my role at Victory last season, was just getting around the girls and really motivating and making sure that off the pitch I was supporting in every way I could. And from the bench I was supporting as best I could. And, you know, I'd hope that the girls would vouch for that, that I supported them as well as I could. So, yeah, I'm very much a team player. I'm all for the team. And if it's not me wearing the gloves, it doesn't matter. It's still my team. So, yeah.
Nice. And are you able to just give us a hint and an insight of what's coming up in 2022 and, you know, what teams you'll be playing for and coaching roles that you might have line up?
Yep. So, I don't know if it's gone live yet, so we'll have to wait and see what happens. But look, I mean, I'm sitting here in a Victory shirt, so I am staying at Victory for this season, and I have committed to stay at Heidelberg for next year, which is exciting. I'm really excited for the club and what we can, you know, what plans we've got in the works at the moment, with Jono and Helen and all the support there at the club. I'm really excited to get cracking with Heidelberg again. In terms of coaching, I'm going to be stepping away from my football admin roles and just focusing on getting back on the pitch, doing a lot of goalkeeper coaching actually. So I'll be at a couple of clubs as goalkeeper coach. And just running kind of private sessions as I usually do, just available during the day, just running private sessions and helping athletes and players you know, who were just like me, get to where they want to go and further. So yeah, that really is my passion beyond playing is definitely my coaching. So yeah.
Well, we're all looking forward to that. And I'm sure, you know, Victory and Heidelberg fans are looking forward to the season and seeing you between the sticks. We've got some couple of questions from our fans that have come through, not so hard, some interesting ones. The first one, how many hours did you practice as a kid? So that could be goalkeeping or playing, as you mentioned.
Say that again. I think you cut out.
So how many hours do you practice when you were a kid? So was it a couple of hours a day, once a week? How many times?
Yeah. When I was younger, I would make my dad park his car outside of the garage during all winter at night so that I could be in the garage juggling, like watching YouTube videos and juggling in the garage until 10:30 at night when I was like 14. Well, 13, 12. And then when I'd get grabbed by my ear, dragged inside, then he could finally pull the car in.
but I guess.
That was genuine. And then I used to get up in the morning and go do like hill sprints as a 15-year-old. Like I was crazy. I was very determined to get where I wanted to go. I had a training diary that I kept to myself. I didn't start working with a personal private coach until maybe 16 or 17. Before that, it was just all me. It was before school, hill sprints. It was up, you know, until nighttime, juggling in the garage. It was always getting to training early, always last to leave. So I worked pretty hard. Yeah. I personally don't think I was born with any kind of gift or any natural, like I was naturally athletic, but I don't think I had any born natural ability for football. Everything that I've got, I really did work for. And all through my junior years at Doncaster, I just had a ball at my feet, or was running or was doing, yeah, everything I could to go that extra little 1%. So, yeah, I worked pretty hard as a kid. I still work hard.
This is a tough question, so I'm keen to hear your answer. Which of your siblings did you look up to as a child as a role model in sport and in life?
Well, it sounds like my brother might have asked that because I've only got one sibling. I definitely looked up to my brother, Scott, even though he was younger than me and shorter than me. I actually started playing football before him. A lot of girls started playing football because of their brothers, but I started football, soccer, before him. He joined because of me. But, yeah, he was great to have. He was a great sibling. I couldn't have asked for a better brother. You know, we go adventure together. We would go, obviously, play soccer together, we would go play basketball in the backyard together, all of that. So he kept me on my toes, kept me busy, and yeah, it's too bad he's not very funny anymore. So
well, that's pretty much all the questions we had, Mel. We can't thank you enough for you coming on board. We know how busy you are with coaching and everything else in between, and to have someone of your caliber on our podcast means the world to us. So we really can't thank you enough for that. Again, we, you know, we'll, you know, can't thank you enough, and we'll obviously be supporting you on your journey, whether it's with Victory or with Heidelberg. We always will follow you closely by because you're a great supporter of ours, so we can't thank you enough for that.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on. It's so good to talk about women's football and, you know, just get it out there, and it's just a pleasure to be on, and let's, you know, keep talking about women's football, because the more we talk about it and get it out in, you know, in the social media world and all the media world, the better it's going to be for us. So yeah, fantastic. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And Han, once again, thank you as well for your co-hosting duties, doing a fabulous job as usual. And we'll see you all next week for our next podcast. Make sure you stay safe, and we'll hope to see you in the pitch shortly. Thanks for watching.